Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him. I'm a queer political activist, actor, comedian, self-proclaimed sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by other fabulous minorities and some allies tackling the news, pop culture, politics, media, entertainment, and history with a little self-care, self-love sprinkled throughout, all for our own personal and collective empowerment. Have we got an episode for you? Aneke, she, her is here to help us kick off this new year, which we need it. Help us kick it off. Which generation is here to snatch the crown of greatest? And have y'all been sleeping easier because a certain somebody has been kicked off all social media platforms? Yes, internet, for clearing out these old dusty-ass corners where these white supremacists be hiding like little cockroaches. And that's offensive to cockroaches. We have a battle cry for allies, how to really show up. Plus, Wonder Woman came blasting onto our TV screens or movie theaters. Hopefully you saw it at home, nice and safe. And we have notes, questions, all done from a place of love because y'all know we stand for Gal and Diana and Miss Patty Jenkins, but we have some questions. Like, we need to clear some things up. What was going on? And then in the main corner, we go back in time twice to Chocolate City, a.k.a. D.C., which was a burgeoning black metropolis whose rich history and black excellence dates all the way back to the 1800s. And we have a very strong argument for statehood now, especially in light of the recent coup. Then Dr. Aneke is here. She puts on her doctor hat, her Dr. White coat, and tells us the facts we need to know about the vaccine. And then stick around at the very end for our newest segment, Rejuvenation Station, where Aneke gives us her rejuvenating, replenishing tip of the week. Plus, sexy-ass Shonda Rhimes' Bridgerton's got us all kinds of hot and bothered. I don't know why I went Southern when it is British. Oh, man, so much greatness happening. Let's learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner. Aneke, you know
hey,
what?
Hey, James! I'm
Hello,
back again!
Happy New Year! Happy New Us!
Happy New Year to you! Happy New Year to us! Happy New Year to the listeners! Happy New Year to the world! Happy New Administration! That's the big one!
But you know what I love? Is that I love that, you know, last week was just such a calm, relaxing week. Nothing interesting happened. As soon as the New Year hit, our lives changed, and it was back to basics. Back to boring. What a boring week. Nothing interesting.
It's been really easy. You know, I turn on the news and it's just fluff pieces about puppies. And, you know, people are just sighing about how, you know, nothing's going on. There's no crisis. There's no nationwide anxiety. There's no violence.
I did see a segment about too much gum underneath desks and
Ooh,
tables.
Ooh, that's gross. That's nasty. Means, you know, we need to take care of that. Especially
just
the orange kind. Get the orange sticky kind.
Get it out of my face. You know what? I just want to applaud. I feel like almost every few weeks, I'm given another example about how dope like millennials are. Like, we're gonna go down as such a dope generation in terms of all the things that we have survived.
We're the crisis generation.
Because, like, I feel like you know, news media sometimes they don't understand who millennials are, right? Like, millennials, like, we're entering our 40s, like, we have seen some shit, we've been through some shit. Like, we went to school like Columbine, we went to school during school shootings was the thing that we knew
school
that were
shootings.
We survived 9/11, war in Iraq, Bush, first recession, and the housing crisis, and then the 2016 election, also the 2000 election, the four years of Trump, the second sort of recession, a pandemic, and now we've survived a coup, plus the fires.
Give it to another generation. Can we just hold off? I'm tired.
I think we've had enough. Like, I know, like, every generation has their things, but, like, you know,
we've had too many. My plate is full. I'm sick of this Thanksgiving's Day plate of things.
Do you
things.
Want some more? No, sir. Can I not have some more? I'm going to reverse full. Oliver Twist this. I don't want it. But I just wanted to take a positive action and give snaps because I feel like sometimes, like, we hear those messages about, like, oh, millennials and da da da. No, millennials are dope as fuck. We persevere. Right. We didn't create a lot of these messes, but we do actively work to fight against, and we rise up to the next day, you know? So
we are, I mean, we are fucking doing it. Like, I'm sick of millennial being a dirty word. Like, I feel like people who came before us were just like trashing it, dragging it through the mud, when we really need to celebrate that word as the glue to all of this. Greatest generation, I'm coming for your ass. We are the greatest generation.
We are snatching 100%.
Give me that, grandma. Give me that.
Snatching that crown. We are. Now that's very millennial, I would say.
I know it is. Like, it is, but you know what? I don't give a fuck.
But I love it. I don't care. And that is also very millennial. You know what? I'm going to be on brand, okay?
Yes.
Snatching that crown. The new greatest generation. Tens across the board. Let's go.
Tens across the board.
No notes, millennials. Mm-mm. No notes.
No notes, millennials. You're doing great. And you know what, Generation Z? Just hang in there.
Just hang in there. And I don't want to, like, generation shame, but I would like to say that the generation that gets a pass is Generation X. Like,
okay,
and they set us up with some false expectations because we grew up watching that on MTV. Mm-hmm. They were just drinking Pepsi, eating Doritos, partying on the beach. They had so many Pepsi commercials. It was like, Generation X. And we were like, woo, am I Generation X? No. And you're just like, okay, well, I just, you know, will marvel at you. They should have been, some of this shit,
they could have taken it
work.
On. They could have. Okay, you know what? I'm going to say.
This is new.
James, you don't want a generation shame, but you know what? I'm coming in and I'm going to kick the door down to my elder statesmen who are trying to skirt responsibility. They're literally
snatching crowns and taking names.
Names. Generation X. Come on, because you're pissing me off with your slackerman. Oh, we're just slackers. Oh, we're just sitting here. Oh, reality bites. No, fuck you. Reality is reality, and you needed to do something to save us, which you did not do.
That's what happened. They sat around, didn't do nothing. And it's like, and then we're having to deal with the repercussions. See, this is what happens when you don't deal with shit. It piles up, and someone else has to deal with it. So
yes, us. And then they're with the fucking boomers being like, fuck you, millennials. And I want to be like, no.
Yes! And there were, I just never forgot when, like, the pandemic first broke out, they were like, the millennials are at spring break. Bitch, we got
that was Generation Z.
Yes.
We are
and
out
like,
of college.
We've got mortgages if we're lucky because there was a you know housing crisis, so a
paying
lot of us
rent.
Can't even get houses.
Paying rent.
So.
With our gig economy jobs that the Generation X created. Gotcha, bitch. Woo, I know what's
got
up.
You. Yeah, we just so snatching crowns and taking names. Go off, millennials, here for you. So, but you know what? We also go to enough therapy that we can also make space for Generation X so we can call you out, but we're also going to bring you in. So,
yeah,
okay.
That's, you know, James, smooth it out.
We're also the healing generation.
I will put my pitchfork away. I will put it back in the closet when I need to.
That's how we do.
Fork pitch things.
Well, you know, there's one place where you will not be able to take your pitchfork to, and
What's
I know
that?
You had big plans.
Where is
that's
that?
That's the app Parler.
Oh,
Parler
damn.
Has been taken down. I know, you had big plans. So I
wait, James, real quick. Real quick, because I know you got a great story for Parler, but one member of the Backstreet Boys is going to be very disappointed.
Oh, no. Which one? Is it Howie? Don't tell me it's Howie.
No, it's not Howie. AJ. No, it's not AJ.
Kevin. Kevin.
No, it's not Kevin. Literally the last one you're going to. Brian Luttrell. The one that nobody thinks about. That guy. He was on Twitter being like, find me on Parler.
Oh. Well, I'm canceling listening to that new Britney Spears Backstreet Boys bot matches. I like a match. I'm going to light it off. God damn
Get
it.
Get it out.
See, you can't have anything
out.
Nice.
Well, maybe they'll kick him out of the group.
I don't, you know, things have, you have consequences. You can have as much freedom of speech as you want, but you also have to be prepared as an adult to take in those consequences of what happens. Amen. That's a part of it. Freedom of speech doesn't mean, like, get out of jail free card, you know.
Exactly.
unless you're white, the probably. The same monopoly. But you know what? Still, we are the generation of taking names, though, so we got you. Making a list, checking it twice.
Santa Claus will cancel.
Not like a McCarthy list, but it's just a checking list. Okay, so there was a big Trump has been kicked off of Parler, not Parler.
Yes.
Trump has been kicked off of all social media platforms.
Everything.
And I will say,
even Google.
I feel like I've been sleeping easier. And Trump can't even get a Pinterest account. He can't even be on Pinterest. Like,
yes.
He is off all of the accounts. And I will say that, like,
petty.
I know some of the scuttlebutt that's been happening on some of these platforms behind the scenes. Part of the reason why they haven't immediately taken down folks like Trump, one, he's a head of state. Two, part of their fear is if they take these folks off their platforms, they will go into the scurries and the scourges of the internet. And then they just sort of are able to radicalize themselves, gas themselves up even more. So that's been, if you're like, how come this stuff is still there? It's sort of just like, better to sometimes see it in the daylight so we can call attention to it. So, which is why some of y'all remember I was going to go undercover, Charlie's Angel style.
I love this.
To Parler. And I would like to thank some of you who have been submitting your photos for me to use
Amazing.
As my catfish to be a Trump supporter on Parler, just to keep an eye on things, see what's
you
going on, and to
try
to cool the waters. And it's going to be a teamwork effort. Like, I love it. Like, Minority Corner's Angels were going undercover.
Sleeping with the enemy.
This is, if we're in a cold civil war, this is what happens in a cold civil war. You go undercover.
Time to slap on a wig like Carrie Russell. And
I have been watching Alias, so I'm well versed. So anyways, no need, back down, stand back and stand down,
Stop
kids.
It! No!
No, it's weird, I'm sorry. I can't, it's not even funny, it's weird, it's icky because it actually happened, you know?
Like, what the fuck?
It's weird. So... Anyways, Parler has been taken down at the moment. You can't download the app on the app stores, Google Play, Amazon. So I like snaps to Silicon Valley for taking it because
finally
these are harboring domestic terrorists. Like they're gonna vow to try to, you know, they're already talking about, you know, coming back. I just, a breath of fresh air, some good news to kick it off.
Yes,
Parler's reprieve.
Down.
Take that, Gina Carano, or whatever her name is.
Cara Dune ruining a good show.
Every scene she was in, I was hoping she would get like lasered.
I know she sucked. Like, it sucked because I really liked that show too. And
I
But I am glad. It feels like, you know what it feels like? It feels like the internet is finally going into those, like your house is dirty and you need to go and clean out the corners. Like, they're doing a little wipe down, you know? Like, we need a little bit of a spring-winter cleaning. So they're doing that. It's going to come back. The spiders are going to come back to the corners again. But at least maybe they'll put a light on it. They'll keep an eye on it to make sure that they don't roost and create havoc that's going to termite your house down. So,
and like, I feel like the country is now finally taking domestic terrorism seriously. Like, you and I have been known that the number one threat to America was domestic terrorists, aka supremacists. We already told you that. And in fact, y'all's own government told you that 10 years ago. There was like an FBI report or the Department of Justice or somebody told somebody something with some documents. So listen to black people, listen to the information coming out.
Yes.
And I think that finally folks are like, you know, taking things seriously because
this
was, you know, I mean, this was a coup. This was a coup. Coups don't have to be successful to be dubbed that. It was a fucking coup. There was a Confederate flag
in the Capitol.
Well, I mean, it kind of is. I bet he got one tucked underneath there, but there was one in a Capitol. Never, ever in the history of America has that ever happened, and it happened in our lifetime, 2020.
Exactly.
Generation X, how'd you let this shit happen? Sorry, I went back in the wrong direction.
I do have to say this because I feel like this has been like repeating in my head. I this is a battle call to all you white allies, quote unquote allies, because mm-hmm. you have these relatives in your family.
Yes. Right?
And you have, okay, cousin George is a little kooky, but I'm not going to call him on his shit because that's uncomfortable and it's weird. Well, you know what? This is what happens when you don't call cousin George on his shit. He goes to the dark, deep spider corners of the internet and he tears the house down. So call on your relatives, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're truly mm-hmm. going to be about that action and post shit on your Instagram with, like, phrases of how, you know, you're appalled or whatever, take that into live action. Like, for me, if somebody says something homophobic to me, I'm gonna fucking call them on it because that's who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. That's a true mm-hmm. ally. That's somebody that's sticking up for it. So if it's embarrassing mm-hmm. that your grandpa, your auntie, your cousin, your mom is saying mm-hmm. something that might be detrimental to this country that is white supremacist, call them on it. You need mm-hmm. to really put action into it because this is what happens when you don't call on people. This is what happens.
100%. I think, like, we've learned so much over the past few years, especially just how fragile our democracy is mm-hmm. physically and just the infrastructures of it. We took so much for granted. You know, Jimmy Carter sold his peanut farm because he was a good person and did that before he became president, right? It's right. There's no law about it. So there's things that we can't take for granted and have to, like, make sure that, you know, we put in that. It's like sort of too, like, it's almost like I already knew the work that lay ahead, right? We already knew, right. Okay, we have a lot of work ahead. It's yeah. almost like my brain can't compute it. It's sort of like, you right. know, there was a time when the coronavirus deaths met, not like they don't mean something, but my brain can understand how many people it was. Now I'm just right. like, it's a lot of people. It's yeah. a lot of people. And now, yeah. even now, it's just like, yep, it's a lot of work that we got to do. So I think, like, again, like you're saying, I think there's things that all of us can make sure that we are doing because this got out of hand, because it wasn't dealt with, because people weren't willing to have those difficult and uncomfortable conversations. And I'm also, sweet justice, Merrick Garland coming up and being our
yeah.
Attorney General. And what is Merrick Garland famous for doing? Trying
Not
white
kidding.
Supremacists. Or well that too, but like his actual claim to fame of, like, in terms of his yeah. work, his work yeah, okay. is he's the one that tried the Unabomber, who was a white
yes.
supremacist. That's what he does.
Yes.
He goes after domestic terrorists. So
I love it.
Sweet justice. And you know what? That just also goes mm-hmm. to show you, you never know where the story is going to go. Like, sometimes
right.
injustice will happen. It was bullshit that he wasn't given the or not given, like, he was had earned and
prevented.
Was And he was, but he was, he had been get, like, oh my God, yeah, so many things. Like, if it had become the Supreme Court justice, like he was supposed to, because it was within Barack Obama's mm-hmm. right to appoint him mm-hmm. as that. There's a lot mm-hmm. of different, you know, things that, you know.
Things are swinging back, though. Things are swinging back.
But we gotta keep pushing. Don't let that go. Don't let it go. Be a millennial.
Yes.
Greatest generation.
Keep persevering.
Keep persevering, because that's what we do. We know bullshit, and we keep persevering. I want to talk to you about this. So,
okay,
Wonder
yes.
Woman came
yeah!
blasting onto our TV screens, or your yeah. theater, if you live in that a city that, I guess.
If you are not safe.
So, yeah, which is like most of the country, you know. So, Wonder Woman came blasting on in. What a Christmas, you know, treat. And,
yes.
There's some questions about it that's coming up. I will say my biggest question that I had was,
yeah, what's that?
Where the fuck was she for 70 years? Like, what was she doing for 70 years? So the first
Clearly,
one took place,
like,
in, like, World War One, and
wait,
then fast forward to the 80s.
This,
like,
is what she was
what
doing.
What were you doing?
She was saving people in a full outfit and then merely going shh with her finger, and everybody
oh,
kept the
okay.
secret. Did you see that opening sequence? That made
I
absolutely
did.
No sense. She's swing swanging
it
through a mall
really just,
and nobody said anything.
And focusing on petty crimes, because
yeah.
like, if you do follow the like the Holter DC cinematic universe, which is, I mean, it's a struggle. It's almost
no.
as bad as the X-Men universe. Like, you got to do some mental gymnastics to make it make sense, because
it's
like
wild.
She didn't really come into, like, people didn't really know about her until Batman vs Superman. So that's like, what, 2016. So
yeah.
like, again, what she Like, so she did this. This is her timeline. World War One. She comes onto the scene. Then in the '80s, she saves the mall and whispers secrets to people. And it's because like her heart was broken over Steve Trevor for like 70 years. Like she opened up and then opened up a ranch and then became just an archaeologist. Like what?
She like met this guy for like 3 days. I don't know how long that movie lasted.
It was maybe a week.
Yeah. He dies.
Oh,
and
he
then
cute.
Then she, her ass is pining seen after him. No, that's
for
whack
decades, almost a century. The most like, so there's some things that I'm like, oh, I think y'all should have thought about this timeline. Maybe and she sat out World War II.
Like, yeah, just, I know. She's like, I'm tired. I'm maybe I'll take a couple classes, become an archaeologist, work for this.
I'm gonna open up a ranch because you know. So, but I did like. But I stand for Wonder Woman. I think Gal is great. I love female director.
Good.
I thought that Kristen Wiig, I thought her journey. I love a good villain. I love her.
No,
you know,
I didn't. Okay, here's a bone to pick.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Because
pick that bone.
First of all, and I thought the action scenes were good. It's a fun popcorn movie, but the holes
it's
are big.
It's no
because,
Marvel.
No, because check this out, James.
We got notes.
James, Kristen Wiig, right? She comes in. She supposedly has 4 PhDs, and she's working at the Smithsonian, but she's like, I want friends and I want to walk in high heels. Bitch, if you have 4 PhDs and you worked in the fucking Smithsonian, you are a superhero in your own goddamn right. And that really bums me out.
But
like,
maybe
women,
she
come
didn't
on
know that herself, and that was part of the problem. And
no,
that's why she was
if
able
somebody
to be so corrupted by things, because she didn't know that her own inner strength came from within.
James, if somebody walked into the Smithsonian with 4 PhDs, people would be fawning over them. They would be like, oh my God, you're amazing. We love you. You're the biggest specialist in the world. And you're only in your early 40s. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
But I did. I liked her action sequences. I liked her evolution until her last cheetah. Like, again, they don't have Marvel movie money. So this, you know, CGI isn't always that great.
That was fine. But it's just give her a better backstory than that. Like, that's
other
rude to women.
Other question, though. How did they get a jet from the a jet that's chilling in the Smithsonian, and it flew all the way over to Egypt and back, and they didn't fill it up for gas? Where did they park it? Like, again, just a lot of cool things happen, but then when you look
Wonder
at
Woman
it,
Wonder Woman doesn't even get to fly her own invisible jet. That was another thing. I was like, this is your jet. You don't get to fly it.
She's not a pilot.
You got Puppet Steve. Puppet Steve flying.
Why was
your
he
invisible
back
jet?
I don't think, like, I think it's such an interesting thing that Patty Jenkins, like, I don't know, like, let Steve go. Like, you chose to set Wonder Woman in that time period. Nobody asked you to set her in World War One. You could have set it, like, set it nowadays and Steve Trevor could be alive. Like, you could have done all kinds of things.
Why didn't they do World War II? Give us some space to breathe. Don't they want sequels? Like,
or they actually should have set the first one in World War II. Why not have Diana going up against Nazis? And then it's less questionable where she maybe was, because it was such a horrific war. I could understand her taking a break after that one and sitting out the Korean and Vietnam War, because shit
stop
was a mess. Because she's like, y'all, this is trifling. So I think that was a mistake. But here's the thing that people have been saying, and I'm wondering, people have been calling that into question, that essentially, this is, if you haven't I hope you watch this movie, because I don't know that these are
spoilers. Yeah, sorry, spoilers. I don't think so. We're not saying the plot. Yeah. We haven't said the plot.
No. Essentially Steve Trevor comes back and at some because of, you know, magic and a wish that gets made.
I mean, literally magic.
Yes. And so he comes back in the form of, it's also just when he's in the writing, it's like, why did you make that choice? So he comes back, but he's in the body the body of another guy.
It's Puppet Steve,
His soul comes back in essentially a puppet in the form of this guy, and only Diana can see who he really is, that it's Steve. Also, maybe she was losing her mind, though, and it wasn't. I don't know.
I don't even know. Poor Diana.
They end up having sex. And then people are saying that was sexual assault.
It's not great. I'll say that. It's not. It's not a good choice. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
They used this man. Both of them. Ghost Steve and Diana used this poor man and his house, and they made fun of his clothes. And then later on, he tried to hit on her, the real guy, and she was like, whatever. So, like,
oh, I thought she was like, great. Okay, right. I just wonder though sometimes, and like, I sometimes do think that we can be kind of a quick to be so angry and upset at everything. And I wonder, and I'm on the same page with you. I'm like, I understand it's not great. I think it was just sloppy writing, honestly. I think it's just sort of, you know, sloppy writing. And I think Patty Jenkins said that she was trying to comment how like these sort of body swap stories happen in the 80s all the time.
But they weren't great then.
They weren't great then either. And that was what someone said. And then Patty Jenkins just like doubled down on it. She was like, whatever, this is what I did.
So James, how would you feel about this? Let's just say you're just bopping along. You're living your life, right? And then all of a sudden you blink out. And then you blink back. And your body has been used.
Oh. Okay, when you put it like, when you make me like put the shoes on. It is a violation. All right. I smell what you're stepping in. I think it's sloppy writing. I don't think that they were intentionally trying to do it.
No.
I think take notes. I think they just need a stronger writing team.
Yes.
And here's the great thing is that like Patty Jenkins is a great director. Gal Gadot, the cast is amazing. It just needs like a Kevin Feige. Like it needs just some more tighter. And you're also like, it's not like this movie. I think the other thing she's like, they're going to do a trailer, like a third movie. It's not like these movies are building up to anything. You know, like, no. I don't feel like there's like a arc that they're trying to tell. It's just sort of like, what are we going to do today? Maybe there's a cheetah.
I know.
Oh, maybe there's a guy who grants wishes and it gets to be too much. And he's kind of like a, you know, Trump guy. Like, I can kind of see how this movie was very much made in the era of Trump, where it was sort of just like how people can ask for one thing, but they get something else and get so like, you know,
monkey paw logic where it's like you get everything that you wish for, but you're cursed with one thing. Like
it comes with something else or just in like how the corruption of power, wanting more and more and more, like very sort of Trump-esque.
Yeah. Right on you hit the nail on the head when you said it just needed a good writer. The stars were great. They acted the hell out of it. The direction was beautiful.
Action
it was
sequences gorgeous. Lovely.
Excellent. Just the writing. It just
except
goes to show you
getting
need
electrocuted
to have a strong
in the water and then Wonder Woman not. Like, I don't know. Maybe
now we're getting into spoilers. Now we're.
Minority Corner is supported in part by Libby. So Libby is a free reading app created by OneDriver that lets you borrow ebooks and audiobooks from your library on your phone, tablets, Kindle, or computers. All you need is a valid library card from your local library. So I know our neighborhood librarian, Aneke, would absolutely appreciate that this is in existence. Keep on supporting those libraries and get those books. You see what happens when people don't read. They storm the Capitol because they don't know what's going on, right? So don't do that. There's so many great audiobooks. Like right now, I'm almost done with the Barack Obama audiobook, part one, 20 hours. Just a few more hours to go. And I'm also reading 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That's where I got my circle of influence for Circle of Concern. You know, I did that little thing last week. So read up, empower yourself, get yourself to where you need to be. Education is knowledge, and Libby is here to help you do that. And here's the thing, even if you don't have a library card, that's totally fine. You can actually still read samples of any book you see. But go get yourself a library card and get yourself on Libby. Libby works just like your physical library. You simply borrow available books you want to read, and then they return themselves automatically after your loan expires. Boom! Isn't that amazing? Isn't that dope? Some Harry Potter magic. Ooh, there's some books if you're like, oh, what should I read? Especially we're still in lockdown. Turn the TV off and turn the books on. So go on over to Libby. So y'all start reading with Libby right now. Go to meet.libbyapp.com to sign up. That's meet.libbyapp.com.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks every week. Myself, and I'm Morgan Rhodes, and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
doing a funky town, but making it chocolate.
Sexy chocolate.
And okay, I want to take you to Chocolate City. And no,
get me there.
I do not mean Burlington because of the Nestle factory that opened up in 1966. I was trying to Google like history of Chocolate City.
Oh, wow. That was,
and there was an
okay.
article that popped up and it was like, Burlington. I'm like, get out of here, Burlington. That name is taken. They're like, we're Chocolate City. You're like, no, not that kind of chocolate. No, we do not need that.
They can have their coat factory. Leave us alone.
Yeah. Yes. You.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Mean Coat City.
Exactly.
You, Lord. So, yes, I don't mean that. So, I mean, D.C. And it was apropos to talk about this considering that D.C. was under siege and under attack. And so I want to talk about a little bit about the history of Chocolate City and the importance of it. And also,
yes,
it's time for D.C.
Yes.
Sacred, is essentially,
let's
that's
do
where
it.
I'm taking us to. Okay. And especially when you hear the history and of like of why this hasn't happened for so long. And this came because I saw W. Kamau Bell's show.
Excellent show.
Shades of America did an amazing episode about Chocolate City. It's so good. Like, whew, yes, it is. It is such a great show. So
also, James and I met him.
We did. And I made an Eke go talk to him. You were,
I
like,
know,
trying to be super
he had his
I'm
kids.
Like, no, you're like, he was with his kids.
You're like, I don't
you know,
care.
I was like, didn't understand what that meant. Didn't know what that meant. Now I have a different sort of understanding.
Yeah,
I have more babies.
You're like, whatever.
Back then I was like, whatever, girl. So D.C. was the first majority black city
Ooh.
In America, and that's one of the ways it was able to get its name, Chocolate City. And some of the readings I was reading that was kind of at first sort of like a derogatory term, but you know, black folks are like, we're going to own this.
We
like,
take it.
Love it.
Chocolate's delicious.
Chocolate's delicious. It's beautiful. See, they try to think that they're being mean and nasty. We're like, good idea. We didn't even think about that. Love it. It's, you know.
Right. Thank you. It's ours now. Brand it. Put it on a t-shirt.
It is. So the nickname was adopted back in the 1970s when about 71% of the population in D.C. was black. And
71%.
Yeah. It's down to about 46% today, but that's, you know, a lot of things happening. We can go.
Still a lot of black
people. Still a lot of black people, right? And so, the idea from the turn of the century until the race uprisings in 1968, it contained the largest black professional community in the United States. By 1920, there was a 40-block portion of the city. It was an area that's known as the Shaw neighborhood, and it boasted about 300 black-owned businesses, banks, newspapers, movie theaters, billiard clubs, department stores. Like, I can't, my brain can't even fathom. My brain can't even fathom something like that right now.
Well, I know, neither can I.
It rivaled Harlem as the center of American black enterprise and culture. Like, someone was saying who was alive during that time, they're like, you had to wear a tie and walk down U Street because U Street was like the main hub. Like, you don't just be walking in your flip flops and sweatpants. Like,
what if you want to walk around in your flip flops and sweatpants?
Not today, Sandra. Okay. So, but Chocolate City goes back further than you think, Eneke. So I already took you back in time through one time machine. We're going back even further. Yep.
Oh my god. Ooh, here we go. I'm holding on.
I know it seems scary because now we're in the 1830s, but don't worry, we're in D.C.
Oh, I know. No, and we hold on. Like
we fight. We fight. Because in the 1830s, D.C. became the only slave jurisdiction where there were more free blacks than enslaved.
Okay. I like those numbers.
It was down in the South.
Those are good numbers.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yes. And before the Civil War, Washington was the only other Southern city with an active abolitionist movement.
Okay.
So people were moving things along.
All
yeah.
Right. People were it working had, in that. They were working towards a better goal then.
And uh-huh. It had a thriving black aristocracy
Ooh,
in D.C.
Hello, yes. Bridgerton. Similar, Bridgerton for real.
Yes. Yes. Which I've been watching Bridgerton. I'm only like two episodes in.
Okay.
That show makes me so... horny.
I think that's like the point.
Just, I feel like it's Shonda Rhimes is just Shonda Rhimes is a horny lady because you think about all
is.
The shows that she writes. It is Grey's Anatomy, Sex in the Elevator, Scandal, Sex in the White House. Yes. Like it is just she is turned up and turned on. I'm
she knows what
it.
The people want. It. She knows, and she it's sex.
So it had a burgeoning aristocracy and a middle class, mm-hmm. a black middle class.
Oh, wow.
Which is different
I love
than
this.
In New Orleans, it was just the aristocracy that was it. Good luck, everybody else. So that's part of how DC was able to get so bubbling brown.
Bubbling brown.
Sugar, which is a
that's a
play.
That is a deep cut from Neke and James
Bubbling
Lore.
Brown sugar. Gotta go find in the archives to hear.
Literally
Bubbling
nobody.
Brown sugar.
Did you talk about? Did we talk about this on the podcast?
We did
probably
years ago. Okay. Bubbling okay. Brown sugar. The show that my mom was in. It was so terrible. Okay, we don't have time. We don't have time. All right,
we don't have time.
We don't have time. I wish I could. You all have to go find it in the archives. It's good. So wigs are
go
flying
dig
off.
In that crate.
Time
go,
traveling. We kind of are bubbling brown sugar because we're time traveling. We touched this magic log and we're in the 1830s.
Woo! And we got...
Yes. So okay. There was a fight between the black air. Eventually what would happen is a fight between the black aristocracy and the black political leaders in D.C., which eventually drove
why?
The aristocracy
guys,
out.
Come on.
I
damn
know.
It.
Yeah. But around the time...
Worst time to be infighting, guys.
But no, this
like,
is
can
later
you imagine?
On. This is later on. Sorry, I time traveled.
Oh.
But I'm letting you know what's
oh, this,
coming.
Oh, okay. This wasn't happening
fell.
In 1830. Okay.
No,
because
no,
I was
no.
going to say, can you imagine being a slave and then seeing that and being like, God damn it, you guys.
We can't be fighting each other. No, there actually was no black political power. It was just really the aristocracy in the middle class.
Ah,
they didn't
it,
have
it,
any
it,
sort of black power political representation. So this is until, okay. like, that's... later to come of like why it comes crumbling down. So around the okay. time of Booker T. Washington's day, it had the largest black middle class in the country. So there were thousands of recently set free slaves, free born slaves. Everyone, even before the Civil War, were moving here. And as it was
oh,
moving
wow,
towards emancipation, there were, you know, black carpenters, plasterers, tanners, pump, just all these sort of working folks, like barbers, blacksmiths, shoemakers. It was just
wow.
was a steady.
I love this.
And the federal government was also a steadfast employer as well, because, you know, those white folks, you know, were not going to, you know, they were working around the Capitol building and the White House. Like there was a lot of, you know, these white people couldn't do anything for themselves. They were helpless.
Oh
so, God. Oh, fun. Fucked up fact. As we continue to move into like DC's crazy black history, okay. Alexandria used to be part of the district, the city of Alexandria, which is in Virginia, right?
So what happened?
It joined Virginia because slave owners resented the accelerating biracial agitation in the city for abolition. So they were like, we're part of Virginia now.
Oh my God.
Wild.
Jesus.
So after Reconstruction, there was a huge dramatic boom. Obviously, people were like, where are black people being able to be successful? I'm moving over there. So more than 50,000. Yeah, more than 50,000 between 1870 and 1900. We're moving there. There was also a lot of at first former Union soldiers were going there too to get you know jobs, but then there was you know fights between the white workers and the black workers because probably the black workers were probably going to be able they were doing it for cheaper. Right?
Yeah, of course. Tales all the time.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing: city residents lost their right to vote in the 1870s. So civil wars happened partly because whites preferred that nobody vote rather than let black male ones vote.
What the hell? It's so like always. That
is why the people of D.C., again, this is why they're dismantling their representation. What happened to no taxation without representation? It is wildly bananas for that to be a situation. So they're like, oh, there are a lot of black people. Well, nobody can vote. Nobody.
This is so crazy to me. It's like, I don't know. Basically, you guys can't see it, but I'm shaking my head through the whole thing because it's frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Get some dangly earrings on so they can just hear it.
I know. So they can.
Shake, 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 shake. So in the 1880s, there was a black business boom. And by the end of the decade, there was black-owned steamboat companies, grocery stores,
Hong Kong,
heating fuel businesses. They were investing in Oklahoma's oil fields because that's where money was. And don't come shaming at us, because we last time I talked about a burgeoning young black woman in like the early 1900s who struck it rich with oil. Somebody was like,
I remember that.
Oil company, bad for the environment. Not back then. It was kind of manageable, and let black people have some money. Okay. So I don't want to see the tweet today. Don't come
to this podcast for this. Come on. Read the room.
Please.
Read the room.
Maybe. You know what? There was a quote from Tim Ferriss recently. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's right. And also just because you think it doesn't mean you need to share it. So.
Exactly. You know. Pick another forum to share that.
You can't choose Parler.
No.
Gone. So within 10 years, this is my favorite point. This is my favorite point. Within 10 years, there was a black-owned bank. You know how fucking huge that is? A black-owned bank.
Big. Called that's Capital huge. Savings.
That means loans get distributed. People can save money. You are now a part of the economy and being able to make it work. Like it was like black people essentially had their own society that they were able to have without even having to have really making it work without representation or anything. They had their own. There was two black owned insurance companies.
I love this. This sounds thriving.
Thriving. So now if I were to have to be like, if I had to go back in time, I might go just to here, right? To maybe just when play the back in time game. I'm like, okay, maybe right over here I could maybe do that.
This one location.
This one time, and I'd be part of that family who lived there.
And then as soon as I edged right to the limit, swoop, take me to the future. Like right when things...
But this would also, Hollywood, if you're listening, I know you're always getting your ideas from, there's so many things we talk about, and then it's, a surprise, a movie. So, can't wait to see
Someone's
this.
Tapped into this podcast. This is true.
So, and then there was also the Union League, which was for black workers. So, they had their own union. It was for pretty much all kinds of black business, workers of all
this
kinds of trades.
Unionizing.
And that's about 1892, unionizing, yes. And 1894, the value assets owned by black Washingtons was around $17 million. That's like 1884.
Wow, that's a lot of money. They were wealthy.
Amongst 3,000 black families who owned their homes.
Rich.
Yes.
Rich people.
Yes, 100. Yes.
Where are they now?
They had debutante balls. They had country houses.
Who are the
houses.
Descendants of these people?
Well, yes. Well, they had to. We'll see what happened to them in a moment. They had country houses in Virginia. They employed their own servants. So, I'm here for that. Maybe they had a white butler. I want a white butler. So I wanted part of my reparations package is my white butler, like Beyonce and Jay-Z had.
Yes, in a box, delivered to the door.
I told you, I have this theory of, part of the reparations is, similar to, in Israel, they have to do, a year of, service. I think white people should have to do, a year of, some sort of, helping out in a community, a black community.
Or just, give me rides to work or something.
Yes, helping us out. Yes, agreed. 1 year of service. That would be helpful. And then they also, sent their kids out to boarding schools, and it was successful.
Wow, real rich.
Yeah, it was part – here's the thing. There's two things that kind of work towards the success of why this happened. Partly it was due because of segregation, because they were able to keep money and opportunity within the community. There was also a respect because we're kind of like FUBU. Family. We're in this together. We're not trying to take advantage of anybody. It was like, let me mm-hmm. help you and support you. And part of the thing that happened when segregation, you know, was ended, it's even why you saw like there used to be so many black teachers. The amount of black teachers started to go down because they couldn't get jobs in the predominantly white schools, right?
See, bullshit.
So you have to have things. That's why it's like a step-by-step process. You don't just leave Iraq, right? There's a step-by-step process
rebuild.
That has to happen. There has to be a rebuilding, a reconstruction that happens step-by-step process. So also,
there's that word coming up, and I noticed the timing, too.
Yes.
Reconstruction era.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is where, that's what we're going to have to be in. And then, so also families obviously fleeing from the Confederacy came up to Washington, so that also helped too. The next thing is obviously education was huge. There was 1870 Dunbar High, which was the country's first black secondary school for 100 years. It was the best. Dunbar High was able to, like in 1949, they sent graduate students to all the elite schools, Colby, Columbia, Dartmouth, Georgetown, Harvard, MIT, Smith, Yale.
Amazing.
And then you also had Howard University, obviously. I mean, that is, you know, one of the institutions, HBCU, right there in D.C. It's, I mean, they call it Mecca, essentially. And, you know, it just, so you had all this, like, education that was also happening. A survey conducted in 1950 found that 92 black dentists, 181 black lawyers, and 211 black physicians were practicing in Washington and had connections, I think, Howard. So
amazing.
They also had social groups like volunteer organizations and social groups and clubs, black fraternities, sororities, Masonic lodges around the city of D.C. So you had black people had a place to go to form community outside of the church and barbershop and salon. So that's why they didn't necessarily need, I mean, representation in government is great, but that's how they were able to function, is that they were just taking care of shit on
thriving.
Their own. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In 1850, this is 1850, right? William Fanks was who founded the Civil and Statistical Association, which sought to secure legal rights for blacks, had lobbied Congress until his death in 1851. So there was like movements for, you know, trying to get, you know, equal rights. I'm going to put a pin in this. Mary Church Terrell. We'll do a whole other episode about her. She fought to end segregation. It was like the grand dame of Washington's black society. So coming at another date and time. And then so eventually, like, just to wrap this up here, so DC got to govern itself around, advancements started taking place around civil rights movement. So in 1969, there was an election of a school board and a non-voting congressional delegate in 1971, and then it allowed them to have home rule in 1973. So up before 1973, they never had like a mayor. They never had their own. Yes, D.C. in general.
They did all of this without a mayor?
Yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
They're under federal rule. And for 25 years, the segregationists had fought against D.C. being able to govern. And then once he lost his election, that started to turn the tide. And so in 1973, 70% of the population is black, and they assumed control over the district.
Wow.
And essentially there was like a lot of these, the black leaders, they weren't necessarily, didn't have the roots that some of these folks who had helped build, you know, Chocolate City necessarily. So you had a lot of folks, you know, coming up. I mean, Marion Barry, for instance, who Google, you know, him, did a lot of great stuff for the black community, you know, but sometimes, you know, when you're not ready for power, power corrupts. And next thing you know, you're smoking crack in a hotel room with some prostitutes.
Stop it.
And it's so sad because it was like a hero. He was a hero for
people
so
loved
many
him.
People,
loved him. But that was a fall from grace if I ever did hear one.
And they had, you know, gotten this power that had happened. And then also around, you know, there was a lot of the uprisings that were happening. So some of the black families started to leave, actually, after that had happened. So that's where you started, you know, between, it was with great power came great responsibility. And I don't necessarily also know that the city of D.C. was effectively set up to be successful as well with all these black people. Like, what are the right resources, the right tools to the kingdom to be successful? I don't know that really happened. So,
I mean, you know, it didn't happen.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like the resources were not given.
Yep. So yeah, so that is kind of the history behind it. And even you come today, you know, there's shortages of affordable housing that are still, you know, a thing, you know, gentrification. And the recent coup has showed us that DC needs to have statehood. Like they need to have statehood. We were denying the people in our nation's capital political representation and the ability to defend themselves. Part of the problem of like why it took the National Guard so long was that they don't have a National Guard to come in. Like they are underneath.
It's so ridiculous. It's under the president.
Yes. And they had
to
like,
I didn't mean
no,
to
you're
in.
Right. They had to go through so much rigmarole to even get it. Get them sent as we were under siege. No taxation without representation. I would say you don't need to change the flag. Let's look into giving Hawaii their sovereignty back. They never they never signed up to be part of America.
They did not.
Took that. And
took
they,
it.
And let's check in with the Hawaiian. I don't think if they want their own, like, I say give it to them. Give it to him. That it really fucking sucks. It's a stain. We don't have to change the flag. Hawaii, we're sorry. We're here for you. Mm-hmm. Let us know how we can support you. We got you. But let them.
Need to revisit all of these. Like there's Hawaii. Yeah. We need to revisit Puerto Rico. Guam. Mm-hmm.
And have real investigations and conversations about it. And the folks that want it, whatever they want. If they want their own sovereign nation, then grant it, right?
Right.
If they want to enter into the union, grant it.
Then legitimize it, you know, instead of this weird gray half step, you know?
Yeah. So there it is. That is the history of Chocolate City.
I love it. That was excellent. I didn't, you know, I've always kind of known like Washington, D.C. has always been like a historically like black city, but I didn't know like the beginnings of it. I didn't know where it stemmed from. And then all the numbers, too, was really great.
Okay, y'all, one of my favorite things to come out of the year 2020, if there can be such a thing, it is my new sheets. I've been raving about it for a while now. I upgraded my sheets to Brooklinen, and especially because it's so cold, even here in the Bay Area, I just love at the end of the day to get all wrapped snugly in my new Brooklinen sheets, and I got a new duvet. Ooh, it is my new favorite blanket, just even if I'm lounging and watching TV, to wrap myself up in my Brooklinen duvet cover or even just my sheets at the end of the day, because I just go, because we be doing so much day in and day out, and we deserve to replenish and rejuvenate ourselves in our sheets. And what's so dope about Brooklinen is they work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without those luxury level markups. Like, they've got so many different kinds of colors and patterns. I found just the color palette that I needed to match my other scheme that I have going, so it was really lovely. They fell right in line with what I was already having going on in my bedroom. They got all kinds of patterns, materials. They got you. So here it is. It's 2021. Do something nice for yourself to start the new year off right. And to help you do that, Brooklinen has a special offer just for you, Corner Kids. That's right. All you gotta do is go to brooklinen.com, use the promo code MINORITY to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more. So go for it. And you get free shipping. So that is so dope. So that is brooklinen.com and enter promo code MINORITY to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. Again, brooklinen.com and use promo code MINORITY at checkout.
Hey, you like movies? What about coming up with movie ideas over the course of an hour? Because that's what we do every week on Story Break, a writer's room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to come up with a pitch for a movie or TV show based off of totally zany prompts.
Like that time we reimagined Star Wars based on our phone's autocomplete.
Luke Skywalker is a family man and it's Star Wars, but it's a good idea.
Okay, how about that time we broke the story of a bunch of Disney Channel original movies based solely on the title and the poster?
Okay, Sarah Hyland is a 50-foot woman. Let's just go with it, guys.
Or the time we finally cracked the the Adobe Photoshop feature film.
Stamp Tool is your Woody, and then the autofill is the new Buzz Lightyear.
Join us as we have a good time imagining all the movies Hollywood is too cowardly to make. Story Break comes out every Thursday on Maximum Fun. I don't know why I'm using this voice now.
Already know some of this information, but I think it's always good to revisit it, and I think it's good to just talk about some questions that are going on about the vaccine. Okay, so I read an article in the New York Times that's basically like your questions about the COVID vaccine answered. So I thought that I would bring that up because it can't hurt, you know, to have,
and also to like quell a lot of people's fears and anxieties. So take us through it.
Exactly. So if you already know some of this stuff, share it with a friend who doesn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't keep all that information for yourself.
Exactly. All right. So the first question is, why can't everyone get the vaccine now? Well, I have an addendum to this because things have kind of changed after this has come out. But basically, there's a list. Everybody knows that there's priority. So people who work with sick people, like
Santa's list.
Yeah, exactly. Side note, I listened to an NPR story about mall Santas getting the vaccine, and I was like, uh-uh. No.
Why? They need it. They're frontline workers. Santa's got to get those
gifts.
Santa
can take a break for a year.
We need cheer, Grinch, okay?
Do we need mall Santas right now? No. It is January.
I think we have. Okay, now. Oh, wait, they're still getting
no,
it?
But
they
I'm
better
just
not
saying.
Be back. They better be at the back of the line. They're like, oh, you missed it. And you were probably late for work. So I think this is a larger conversation, George.
Oh, God. Okay, so basically, it says we need at least 40 million doses because there's 20 million people in the United States and everybody needs two doses. So we're not quite there yet, but they're working on it. You know, there's Pfizer, there's Moderna, there's the other people that are working on the vaccines. So what it boils down to and what the administration currently is doing is they have given certain amounts of vaccines to each state and letting the state take over. We now know that that's not working. We need federal action, which is what Biden is proposing he's going to do once he's in office. Because the states kind of are hodgepodge in their own way of figuring it out. And that clearly we need full sweeping action in order to figure that out.
Yeah.
There is a good chart on the New York Times. You might want to just Google it and say, like, where's my position in the vaccine? And it asks you a couple of questions of your job, your age, your health status. And it will tell you how many people in your state are ahead of you. So, you know, if you work with COVID people, you're definitely going to get the vaccine. If you work in emergency, you're going to do it. Medical people, you know. But then there's the 1B list of people who work in the medical, you know, who are medical professionals but aren't with high-risk people. So they're after that. Right. And then there's the frontline workers, essential workers, educators come into the mix. And then also if you're 65 and older. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of depends on that. But it's hopefully going to be distributed to the people who need it, and then it's going to be like full. It should be everywhere. I do know that CVS and Walgreens have gotten they're worked out a deal with the federal government in order to distribute the vaccine. So that's probably going to be a part of that, either through your medical plan or through you know, if you have Kaiser, you're going to go to Kaiser and get it. But if you are like, you know, a Blue Cross or something like that, or your pharmacy is CVS or Walgreens, it will be like the flu shot where you go there and get it.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Okay, so how long will it take to work? Now, this is important because people will probably, knowing people, they'll be getting their shot.
Tell them, this is good that we're having
and
this.
They'll be like running out into the street and making out with a pole or something. Who knows? You know, like.
You better stop. No. You better stop. Y'all need to keep it. This is like a Band-Aid on a gushing blood.
On Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls.
Yes.
Okay, so basically this said, you won't get full protection from the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine until about a week after the second dose. I want to repeat that for people.
Oh, so the second dose. So you,
full protection is a week after your second dose. Okay, so researchers found that vaccine protection started to emerge about 10 days after the first dose, but only reached about 52% effectiveness. Okay,
you're out.
And so, and then, according to the New England Journal of Medicine, a week after the second dose, it rose to 95% effective. So you get your
those are huge differences of numbers.
Yeah.
So that 95 number, this is great. I'm glad you're doing going over this because like I had no idea about mm-hmm. it. So that number that we've been seeing about 90% effective, 95%, that's after the second dose, and then also that time for it to really be up in your body.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For your body to get used to it, to warm to that bath, you know, you got it. You can't just be rushing out. So you get your first shot, wear your mask, act like you haven't gotten a vaccine. Then you get your second shot for a week, wear your mask, act like you haven't gotten a shot. After that week, keep wearing your mask, but just know that you are protected at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And we say keep wearing
it. I might just even keep wearing it anyways because it's cute.
It's cute. Fashion.
Also, I don't want any side eyes. I don't want people looking
out
at me. I'll do
world.
It in solidarity.
Yeah.
I'll wear a sympathy mask.
But here's the thing, though,
it.
Too. People are saying that you should continue to wear your mask and social distance after you get your vaccine because we still don't know if you can still spread it even if you got it. So we'll all be wearing masks for
a while. For a while, and actually into the this is a part of our culture. If you're cold, if you have a cold in the future, you wear a mask out in public.
Yes.
It's the smartest thing to do. I was, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar was saying that when she was filming The Grudge, she had actually gotten a cold while she was filming it, and they gave her a mask, and she got nobody else sick. And it just like, well, like it's just like common courtesy to like, oh, I'm sick, I'm gonna put on a mask so I don't infect other people.
Yeah, I mean. This has probably been the healthiest I've been for a whole year. I'm normally catching colds left and right because I work in a library, which is like the epicenter of germs for a college. And I, one, haven't been out there doing that. And two, I've been wearing a mask. So it's, you know, I think it's a good hygiene practice that we need to adopt. They're already doing that in some parts of Asia. Why can't we just adopt it too? Like, I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Plus fashion.
Yep.
Okay. So, how do we know it's safe? Now, this is a big one. Okay, so each company's application to the FDA includes 2 months of follow-up safety data from phase 3 of clinical trials conducted by universities and other independent bodies, okay? So in phase 3, of thousands of volunteers got vaccine and waited to see if they became infected compared to others who received a placebo, okay? By September, Pfizer's trial had 44,000 participants and no serious safety concerns have been reported.
Wow, that's some good data.
Yeah.
As Brené Brown would say, let's look at the data, and the data look good.
Data does not lie. And I do want to say,
is
like,
that your new single?
And I understand
that we should make like,
data don't
we
lie?
Should make a COVID song. The data don't lie. Get the vaccine. The data don't lie. Get your get it, Maxine.
I'm into it. Okay, singling out all the
Maxines. First in line, you know how you be Maxine. When have you ever met someone named Maxine who is just like little docile
always
creature?
Always wary.
They are wild.
Maxine is always.
Maxine's and Bianca's first in line because we need to get you girls.
They don't be trusting. They do not trust. But here's the thing. So I wanted to point out, I can understand the distrust of pharmaceuticals because they have been testing left and right. They are messing people up and suing them. And the pharmaceutical companies are not good. I'm just going to say that outright. We understand that. But this is on such a huge scale.
Yeah.
If one of them were to mess up and ruin people, that would be the destruction of their company.
Right.
And the bottom line is they want money. They want that money. They want it to succeed. They want it to work.
At the end of the day, money talks. It's even the why, like, you know, when all of the, like, you know, stuff was happening with the coup or even with the Georgia election, I always checked in with, I would go into foxnews.com and I was always like, how are they reporting on this? And they were calling them rioters.
Mm-hmm.
They called the Georgia election. Like, I always kind of check in to see over there. And at least like, even to, I mean, listen, they created a lot of this, you know, mess and nonsense that we're in, but even they, like, burnt down America does them no good. Like, they, because they need to make money, right?
Right.
They want to make money at the end of the day.
Yes.
And so same thing with this. Like, these companies want humans to stay alive so that they can make money at the end of the
day.
Yeah,
exactly.
Unless they're run by Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I think his franchise has been canceled, or I think his contract. I think Jesse Eisenberg is gone. So, no more Lex.
DC's a mess. So, okay. Moral of the story is DC is a mess. Okay. So, I've had COVID-19 already because I've been a mess. Mm. And do I need a vaccine?
Oh, okay. I thought you were giving a testimonial. This is back to the questions. Aneke, when did this happen? I talk to you almost every day.
I am asking the questions.
Okay. I felt like a bad sister friend for a second.
Oh, no. I haven't got it. I mean, to my knowledge, I haven't got it. Ooh.
I had a COVID scare, but it turns out I was hungover. I went to the doctor and she was like, I think you're hungover.
Okay, so basically they advise that it's safe and probably even beneficial for anyone who has had COVID to get the vaccine at some point. Even though people who have contracted the virus do have immunity, it's too soon to know how long it's going to last, you know? Some members of the CDC advisory committee have suggested people who have COVID in the past 90 days should be towards the back of the line. So, you know, get your vaccine, but you don't have to be number one in the line to get it because you probably you already have immunity and you should be okay. But still,
except
wear
your
mask.
Maxine, I want to see you at the front.
Okay, this is the big one. This is the big one. And this is the one that I think we all want to know. Okay, this is a super important one. This is the one that I want to know too. So when can we start doing normal things? Like going to the movies or the theater. When can we do this? Okay, so this is what they say. They say public health officials estimate that 70 to 75% of the population needs to be vaccinated before people can start moving freely in society again. So if things go well, life could get better by late or early summer. It depends on the uptake of the vaccine and the level of infection in the community. And that's what Dr. Fauci has said. Okay, so given the survey so far showing significant public reluctance to the vaccine, however, it may take a while to see widespread community protection. Dr. Fauci says, if it turns out that only 50% get vaccinated, then it's going to take much, much longer to get back to the kind of normalcy that we would like to see. So, moral of the story, get vaccinated if you want to do normal things.
Get vaccinated.
And it's safe. It should be everything the data is saying is that it's safe. I understand the hesitancy. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that we need to come about to say. And I feel like there needs to be a public outcry where it is, yeah, get the vaccine and safe, but we understand where your caution comes from. Like, we shouldn't treat people who are cautious to the vaccine with disdain. Like, people have legitimate reason to be like, I don't want to take this. But first and foremost, data doesn't lie, money talks, and a lot of the reason that the vaccine came out so fast is people had been working on this process of getting this type of vaccine out for the past 10 years. There's a great story on NPR that talks about the creation of one of these
and
viruses.
Thank you, Henrietta Lacks, the gift that keeps on giving, because her genomes were also helpful in this process as well. Give her family the money they deserve.
Yes, hello. Knock, knock, hello. No. Give them money.
Yeah.
All right,
Dr. Aneke, thank you so much for coming on here. I feel like I was just on The View every once in a while. They'll have like an expert come on and they're like, break it down, tell us what's happening. And that was you just now. You were Dr.
You know
Sanjay
me.
Gupta. Like,
let me get my white lab coat.
This is so helpful because, like, I didn't know all of the facts and the figures, and I know there are some anxieties out there, and rightfully so, but we are all in this together, and you know, getting back to normalcy and also just saving lives and each other. I am impressed that it has gone this like fast. Like, I was mentally prepared that like this could be a while, you know, it could be
a
few years, and we are very the goddess is looking out for us, y'all, because the beat is being turned around much faster. So, but it only comes from us doing the continued work. So listen to Dr. Aneke, because she got your facts.
I mean, just reading articles over to you guys, but it's important to get this information out there. We need to, if we want to get back to regular times again, we got to really work towards it. And that includes wearing a mask out in public over your nose.
Over your mouth. Okay, yes. I don't want no mustache mask, because that's just you wearing some uncomfortable fabric as a mustache, and that's weird. Would his fake mustache help? No, it's not doing anything except a bad disguise.
Exactly.
Rejuvenation station. Yeah. Choo choo. Pulling up to get replenished. Mm. So this is a new segment we're doing called Rejuvenation Station. And so I want to check in. We do so much over this podcast. We have laughs, we have giggles, but we do a lot of hard hitting information as well. And so it's really key and important for us to rejuvenate. Which I was talking to my therapist about. It's a little different than self care, which sometimes like I can self care with essentially like empty calorie type stuff where it almost numbs me and I don't necessarily feel rejuvenated. Right. So what are things that you do to rejuvenate you?
Me? Let's see. I take a long shower. I take a long hot shower, and here's a tip. I sit down in the shower.
Okay. And
you know what? It is. Some people think that sitting in the shower might be kind of sad, but I like to sit in the shower because then you get the full, you know, steam hit. The hit on your face, give your legs a rest. It's almost like a bath, but you're being rained on. I feel like after I sit down in a shower, after taking a long shower, sometimes I bring a sheet mask in there and I'll sit down in the shower. I'll put the sheet mask on my face. And then, you know, maybe the sheet mask doesn't do anything because it sort of gets washed off. But it still is very relaxing. And you could do that in like 20 minutes. It's just a nice shower hack. Like, I love it. It feels really good. And then after I get out of the shower, I put some lotion on, and then I feel rejuvenated. I feel fresh. I feel clean. I feel ready and relaxed. It's like, I think it's important that everybody take a little bit of time. And it's hard. Like, I got a toddler, you know? It's hard to carve out time for yourself. But that, like, literally, not only does it physically rejuvenate you, it also, for me, it's like a nice kind of DIY spa in your bathroom.
I love it. And it's like, I love this thing because I think it's important to have handy a list of 10 things that you can do that rejuvenate and replenish you, because you know, I don't want to sugarcoat it that, like, you know, everything's going to be fine in like a couple of weeks. It's probably not, but it's important for us to be able to have those things that more than self-care literally rejuvenate and replenish us. That way we can get back to, because the world needs us. Like, the world needs us. I need you. Our neighbors need us. Our family needs us. But you do have to put your own oxygen mask on first. Otherwise, you're no good to anybody else. Somebody asked me how I was doing, and I said, you know, I have my own oxygen mask on. I'm able to assist and help other people as this burning plane of democracy makes an emergency crash landing in some rocky-ass mountains, and we venture off into the wilderness. That's how I am. But because I took some time to rejuvenate and replenish myself.
100%.
So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Something that I found rejuvenating recently was watching Between the World and Me on HBO Max. The Ta-Nehisi Coates. It had that sort of, it made me feel like I was eating some delicious green beans, some, like, you know, potatoes and green beans. Something like
nice side
healthy
dish,
but warm. Nice, like, you know, with just some. It wasn't like I was just eating some cookies, because I was like, I could watch Bridgerton. I'm like, I don't need cookies right now. I need like some
vitamins.
And every black person you know is in it. I got a cathartic cry, a beautiful cry. It felt like I was getting a hug from black people. I then bought my brother that book. I should probably go to buy it if you don't have else. And it's just a nice, the book itself is also really beautiful for black parents to have. So I recommend all of our black listeners specifically, get yourself that hug. And if you feel like you need a hug, I really recommend Between the World and Me. You might cry, but it'll be a healthy cry. And I think you'll feel hugged by your black community.
Oh, I love it. That's great. That's excellent advice. And I love this corner that you have.
It's new for this year. Remind me to do it. Okay. There's the episode. episode, let's take a look at the fact check. What? Nothing to check because everything we said was perfect and amazing. Dope. Let us know. I'm sure you'll let us know if we missed anything, got anything incorrect. Let us know for sure. I will say that I now realize when Aneke was mentioning, will be like Carrie Russell taking off my wig. She was referring to the Americans. I was thinking Felicity, which she was thinking of talking about the Americans. Great show. Carrie Russell is bomb. Definitely check that out. I was trying to find the episode where we reference Bubbling Brown Sugar, where that came from. We don't have time to tell you what that story is. Definitely worth a listen. I couldn't find what episode that was in. You know, we have almost 300 episodes. If you are a diehard listener, you remember that story, please tweet at us, email us, let us know which episode it is. So the Corner Kids can easily find it and know what the joke is. Be in on the inside. Other thing I just want to say and point out, you know, so many Republicans are talking about unity. It's time for unity. Unity comes, like we've talked about on previous episodes recently, when we talked about like charrettes and things like that. And even with Native Americans, the like how Canada, anytime there's been a unification that's happened, it's the truth and reconciliation happens first. There has to be, you know, understanding what happened and making amends. You can't just skip to the part of unity. So really standing firm and demanding that there is justice and truth and reconciliation. So that's all. Otherwise we've never had that in this country, and that's why we're here where we are. I do want to get into a tweet of the week, and this one comes from @BrockSky. They said, thank you for the they're referring to Kwanzaa, our Kwanzaa episode. They said, thank you for this episode. I am sharing it far and wide. More people need to know about how awesome Kwanzaa is. Agreed, faux show. And then this one, we're going to dip into the Instagrams, because this came from we had done the emergency episode last week, going over just 10 things to do for having a process of rejuvenation for yourself. I shared my list, and Albright_C wrote, just listened to this episode, which hit every point on the emotional spectrum. Thank you so much for taking the time to share and providing so many ideas of how to care for ourselves and our communities. It's heavy and exhausting era, and you brought such a light and hope to the episode today. 3 hearts. Yes. Glad that you were feeling that. That's what we were trying to do here. So we are in this together, y'all. Last thing, big shout out to Corner Kid Lucille W, who has been hard at work, who you might remember years ago, we did an episode about Jungle Cruise, and we need to have a petition, you know, eliminating I've called them, for lack of a better words, the Ooga Boogas in the Jungle Cruise. It's just highly offensive, just dated, I won't even say characters, just these figures of just really stereotypical sort of tribal people in the ride, the Jungle Cruise in Disneyland. We said we should get a petition. We then did a Minority Corner rewind of it, and Lucille W. put words into action and started a petition. So we're going to link it in the show notes. Everybody take a moment to listen, to sign it, because this is insane that this is even still here in 2021 as part of the Jungle Cruise. And they're about to launch a movie, which more people are going to go, you know, look at that ride and be like, what's going on? So there that is. Also, be sure to check out our YouTube channel if you want to see our faces. Our lovely editor, Sarah, has been hard at work and putting our content onto our YouTube page, so definitely take a look at that. And that's going to do it for us. That's our show for this week. Rejuvenate, replenish yourself, take care of yourself, and take care of each other for sure. And, oh, before I forget, this Sunday, January 17th, join me for a dance class on Zoom to Beyonce's My Power. We are going to reclaim our power. We're going to come together. It's going to be so much fun. A nice release of stress and energy. Class is free, but donations are welcome. 50% of the proceeds are going towards Black Lives Matter organization. Link in the show notes to sign up. Join me. Let's get our dance on, especially before we go into this week. Release some energy. Come together. Come hang out with me. And big thank you to Sarah Brown, our editor, Sam Jackson, our social media manager. And thank you to all of our Maximum Fun members and all of our Minority Corner listeners. Thank you, Corner Kids. We love you all so much. Take care of yourselves. Be well. And thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.